This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh yeah! 1 hour to go!
Let's finish this thing, man. Another 5 hour sprint. KM to AM on the Fan in New York. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling and being a part of the show. Dial 888-808-1019 as it's open mic time. Bring something to the table that we haven't heard or we haven't thought about yet. And shout out to everybody in the chat watching as well, throwing some stuff out there. We're approaching 1,000 views online, and I appreciate you guys rocking with me. So let's get back to it. I did not bring this up yet. Former Met Max Scherzer is skeptical of the automatic balls and strike system, right? Max Scherzer, I think he got checked twice, and he's saying we don't need it. He says, you know, I'm a little skeptical on this. Of course you are, right? Because in your old age and all the money you're still making, I think he's getting 15 mil from the Blue Jays. Can't wait till the Yankees face the Blue Jays. He's skeptical on this. He said, I get what we're trying to do here, but I think major league umpires are really good. They're really good. So what are we actually changing here? We know there are going to be strikes that are changed to balls and balls that are changed to strikes. So we're going to basically be even. So are we actually going to improve the game? Are the umpires really that bad? I don't think so. Can we just play baseball? We're humans. Can we just be judged by humans? Do we really need to disrupt the game? I think humans are defined by humans. Shut up, Max. You're out. Like, this might be your last year. I remember you having an issue with the pitch clock. I remember you having an issue with the sticky stuff checks. Retire. Retire. They need to expedite this. I like this system. We're not holding the game up. What did he say, someone? Oh, can we just be judged by humans? No. No. We're not holding the game up. I know I talked about this a couple nights ago. I said, I got time. I'm going to the game. I'm not in a rush. I don't need a 2 hour and 10 minute game. Get the call right. That's what I needed. He said, we're disturbing the game. We're not disturbing the game. This is a service to the game. Get the call right. I've seen guys get rang up on nonsense. It changes the at bat. If you're up in the count, if you're down in the count on nonsense. Yes, yeah, some of the umpires are good. Some of them have a God complex. Some of them need to literally be checked. How many times do you see these ump scorecards come out after the game and you're like, man, come on, this guy missed. And it tells you this affected the game this amount. This at bat swung the game this amount because this guy just wanted to ring a guy up or this guy didn't adjust his strike zone for the height of the batter. So, yeah, I like it. And the ABS system adjusts for the height of all batters. So far in spring training, it's great. I think you only get two challenges. I think they're telling the pitchers not to challenge. Let the batters challenge and let the catchers challenge because they're right there. Good. Run it. We're not going to have it in Major League Baseball this year. And I guarantee you there's going to be somewhere in the postseason where we wish that we had it. 888-808-1019. Mitchell is in Queens on the Fan. Go for it, Mitch.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Pleasure speaking to you tonight. I got a question about the NFL draft that I would love to know. I always see this post on ESPN, and then I just wanted to make a baseball point to you. Why do some players not show up to the combine? What is with that, and how are they allowed to get away with it?
Yeah, because they don't want to hurt their draft stock, right? Like last year, a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., he didn't do anything. He showed up and did meetings because he knew I'm the number one receiver. Malik Nabers had a better year than him. Brian Thomas had a better year than him. But he knew from his last name and all the hype that he did not have to go run, because if he goes there and runs and he runs a 4.6, they're going to say, nope, he's not a first-round talent. If he goes there and he competes and he's running routes and he's dropping passes from quarterbacks that he's never worked with, they're going to say, oh, his hands aren't that good. So it is a game within a game. If you've already done enough of real football and put enough on tape, you don't need to show up in Under Armour, you know, shorts and tights and prove anything. But there are a lot of guys that need to raise their stock. There are a lot of guys training for these like events that go there and put themselves on the map.
Okay, I appreciate that as an avid NFL fan who doesn't understand why a guy, I can't remember the guy who, I remember like there's a receiver the Bengals took 9th overall a couple of years ago, I think like John Ross, and like the first overall pick the Jaguars took over someone else. They'll be like, oh, they're such combine freaks. I'm like, yeah, but I'd rather put on the tape than watch the combine.
Absolutely. And before you get to your next point, the culture has changed. They're showing you Saquon Barkley working out and doing everything. They're showing you Patrick Mahomes throwing and doing things. Dak Prescott. They're showing you some of the best players in the NFL going to the combine and competing. And it says a lot. Like Rome Odunze went there last season and he did everything. And it actually raised his stock because people were watching him. They're saying, like, yeah, this guy competes.
Because he went to the combine and lit it up also. It goes both ways. You have guys who get drafted really high but are not worth it because they light up the combine, who never put good stuff on tape.
Yep. Some guys, their strength doesn't translate. They might go there and put up 30 reps on the bench, and then you see them on the field getting pancaked. Vernon Golston.
Okay. True. As a Jets fan, that hurts. I'm a Mets fan, but I wanted to just talk about, I thought about this, just a couple, two teams in each league who I think are just not talked about enough, and I think some of them are, and I'll say them specifically and why not others. In the American League, I really like the Rangers and the Red Sox as under-the-radar teams. The Rangers, you know, they were a championship team, now they're healthy, and the Red Sox with all their additions. And in the NL, I really like I'm a Mets fan, I really like the D-backs and the Padres. People forget about them. They added Corbin Burns. They were only a game out of the playoffs. And people don't talk about the Padres, but they're basically bringing back the same roster from last year, but they didn't have any, you know, sexy additions. And the reason why I don't know that the Mets are the favorite in the East, but the other two teams have significant flaws, like that Spencer Strider and Acuna are coming off serious injuries, and you're banking on Sale to be healthy again. And I think the Phillies have major issues with plate discipline that if they get fixed, yeah, they can probably have the best roster in baseball, but that's a major issue.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, whatever the radio station down in Atlanta is, they're talking about these injuries, and WIP, they're talking about the Phillies folding and maybe their windows closing because of their issues as well. And you know, I like what you said about the Rangers and Red Sox, but I don't even think that they're under the radar. I think the Rangers winning the World Series 2 years ago, they're looking at their team, they're looking at their lineup and their pitching, and they're saying, hey, we can contend. If the Astros are not there in that division, they think they can win that division. And the Red Sox, too. The Red Sox made a lot of moves to improve. Their manager is a good manager, and I think that they're going to be a threat. So that's why we watch. You know, that's why everybody anticipates opening day, and we're paying so much close attention to, you know, Alex Bregman hitting a home run over the Green Monster in spring training, because we're like, okay, who is going to rise? Who is who? It never goes exactly as it is written down on paper.
Keith, yeah, to that point of you saying if never goes down in your paper, I'll ask you this and I'll hang up. The team that always, throughout my life, I'm 30 years old, that always managed to be a contender and even get far in playoffs with nobody, and I'm feeling like, are we due back for that, is the Rays. And I'm just curious of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, the Rays, thanks for the call, Mitchell. The Rays have this like moniker that they're always pesky, they're always a pain, they always figure it out. I don't think that's going to be the case with them this year. They lost their ballpark, which wasn't a great ballpark. They actually upgraded. They have a brand new facility with the Yankees. But, like, you're going to play home games against the Yankees that are going to be dominated by Yankee fans. George M. Steinbrenner Field is going to be packed for all of those games. And the Yankees, like, they're playing their home games in a stadium with the same dimensions as Yankee Stadium. And they're paying the Yankees $15 million. Like, that's tough. And even when they rolled out, you know, these guys to play against the Yankees, I'm like, who are some of these guys? So I don't expect, you know, Junior Caminero to lead them, or Ha-Seong Kim going there to lead them. Maybe Shane McClanahan has a bounce back. Yeah, I don't look at the Rays as really being a threat or being what they, you know, have been under Kevin Cash for so many years. But what do I know? Watch the Yankees lose to him in George M. Steinbrenner Field more than once. That's baseball, Susan. The ball will bounce a certain kind of way. Guys will slump, and the Yankees are going to have holes at third base and DH, so maybe they get got. I don't know. Ross is in Bergen County next on The Fan. What's up, Ross?
Keith, how you doing, man?
Good, you know, watching the game, talking sports, taking
this
calls.
Game, but yeah, I mean, look, everyone's saying going into this game, you know, this is kind of the appetizer to when Luka eventually goes back down to Dallas. And so far, he saw that 1-3 from pretty much near the logo, and he did the stare down towards the bench. I think he's got 12 right now. Last time I looked, the first shot was like an air ball. And I was watching pregame. Shaq was saying, you know, if he makes the first three, he's going to tell us whether or not he's going to explode this game. And I think he airballed it or something, but he kind of picked it up. And, you know, this game, the people marked this game, you know, like a minute after the trade happened. Maybe not a minute after, because people didn't know if Shams got hacked or not, but I mean, we waited for this game for a while, and you know, I'm watching, I'm thinking to myself, it's kind of crazy. I think it was Josh Pasek brought it up. You know, how Simmons is now back with Harden. The two got traded for each other. And, you know, earlier, you know, to start the season, prior to Simmons going out to L.A., Dinwiddie went back to Dallas, which Dinwiddie was traded for Kyrie. And now, you know, Shaq brought up pregame. We were talking about 2 years ago, between the two guards in this, you know, premier Dallas backcourt, nobody thought Luka would have been the guard treated to L.A. You remember there was a whole discourse with Kyrie and the Nets. It wound up being Russ going to the Lakers. Yeah, and it's crazy to think 2 years later, Kyrie's still in Dallas. Kind of the whole thing about wherever he goes is, you know, he's just a walking disaster. And I was thinking it would be funny if, obviously, they're not in Dallas, but when they get back to Dallas, Luka pulls what Kyrie did with Lucky the Leprechaun. Stomps on that Maverick face, you know, right in center court, and obviously, you know, the rest is history. When you know Kyrie stepped on the logo, kind of
Went terribly images. For Kyrie stepping on Lucky the Leprechaun. He just figured out how to get a win in Boston a couple weeks ago for the first time in years.
Oh, they played Boston the other night.
Mavericks beat Boston. I don't know. I got to go back to.
Oh, I did watch that game. Yeah.
Yeah, and they, Kyrie hadn't won up there. They beat them 127-120. I don't have the date in front of me, but I remember seeing the stat, like, you know, Kyrie hadn't won up there in years. It's February 6th. So,
yeah. It's just so crazy, man. Look at the whole thing. Like, obviously, the clip with Davis, first quarter, he's yelling, I'm here. Kind of like, Vladdy, this is my house. And two quarters later, typical AD. You know, I saw a tweet somewhere like AD to the Mavericks medical staff, and it was the I'm here clip. So,
yep, street clothes.
Thing about,
Anthony Davis, he's wearing a nice outfit, street clothes. And, you know, I'm watching the halftime show. They do too much, man. They just did a side by side of Luka with Kendrick Lamar, and they kind of made the Luka staring at the bench, the side by side with Kendrick Lamar when he looked at the camera and said, "Hey, Drake," during the Super Bowl. Can we get off that? Like,
they put like a graphic.
Bruh, enough.
That's a whole other rabbit hole. But, yeah, I mean, well, quick, if I get a quick baseball point in, you know, the listen, I've called you multiple times, and you probably know how many times I called in this time last year, getting on Stearns outside all these bums, and guys like even Iglesias, who, you know, nobody thought he would go on that run, obviously, but just so many guys that are flashing, you know, were flashing the pans at that point in their career, either that or just total no-names, you know, in general. And obviously the season they had. So I was kind of going into this offseason like, whatever this guy does, you know, he's got the benefit of the doubt, because last year looked 10 times worse, and they were 2 games removed from the whole from the fall classic. With that being said, though, I don't know how, you know, at first with Justin Montes going down, but now with Manaea, who's essentially your de facto ace, I think a lot of people still think it's Senga, but either way, they don't have a bona fide number one. I think it's Manaea in their eyes, though. But even before, you know, just Montes, now you got two starters in the rotation down. I don't know how you don't just plunk Quintana off free agency. Either that, in the first place, I wanted Flaherty over Montes. They pretty much got similar deals, but that's whatever. But, you know, you let him go
Walker
off the board.
Walker Buehler was available as well.
Yeah, the guy, you know, last out of the World Series, I think he was one of the – did he get the last three outs against us too? I'm not sure. I think it was Vessi or somebody. Regardless, yeah, you know, he kind of picked it up in the postseason. There's just a lot of names out there that are still kind of under that low-risk, low-reward, or, you know, high-reward type, you know, notion. Like, obviously, a guy like Severino pounced on, you know, Oak or Sacramento, or the Athletics' highest-paying contract ever. You're going to let him walk. I know a guy like you say Kikuchi, I said, you know, maybe they could be in the mix for him. He was the first contract to be signed because he got, like, 25 mil. So, like, I'm not saying dish out that type of money for a player not of that caliber, but some of these guys, like Flaherty's the one that I really think they should have went after, because I even wanted him at the deadline. And he wasn't the best for the Dodgers, and it was kind of in line with the year prior. He went to Baltimore. He was even worse. Now, the rank speaks for itself, but he didn't really contribute much to it. He goes running back to Detroit, but I think he really puts up solid strikeout numbers similar to Manaea. And honestly, coming off last year, like Manaea, Severino, they weren't just, you know, mediocre. They were outright one more bad out and kicked them out of the league for good. And obviously, you know, the seasons they got out of them, so I don't know why they're sitting on their hands. I guess we're going to have to go through the whole McGill experience again, and who knows, maybe he turns a corner like Peterson did. But, I mean, how many more years are we going to have to, you know,
they have a plan.
That,
so. They have a strategy. They have
Appreciate a budget.
Thanks for the call, Ross. David Stearns has a vision and a way of doing things. And, again, I say Mets fans shouldn't panic because I don't think they're panicking. Now, I also know that there are multiple months to make adjustments and improve your team. They're going to see it through with the guys that they decided to enter camp with. And that's just what it is until it isn't, right? They're making trades for random outfield depth, and that's not an issue. And fans are going to scream about pitching, losing two starters, and, you know, Nick Madrigal, a depth utility infielder going down. And Jose Iglesias and Jose Quintana, guys that helped you do what you did last year. I don't know. I am really, like, I've said this a bunch of times. The baseball season, from the last games to the start of spring training, is like a little bit over 100 days, like 115 days. So the baseball offseason is so short that, like, you can recapture some of that vibe and momentum. And I don't understand seeing what Jose Iglesias did and what Jose Quintana did, and those guys are there, and you're already over the luxury tax with a $20 billion owner. Why wouldn't you just bring those guys back into the fold? You're not going to break the bank. And I just think it could help the morale, and it just fills a need. But no, they, you know, Stearns is moving with none of that emotion, none of that attachment. That's how fans move. So you wait and see how it works out. If it doesn't work out, you expect Stearns to react. Gio is in C caucus next up on the Fan. Go for it, Gio.
Yeah, hello?
Hello.
You hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that you're talking about Lindor being in captain before and what the difference does it make, right?
I think he should be named captain. I do think it would make a difference. It's another morale thing, and I think it's a respect thing, and he's earned it.
Right. So I was saying that you were saying what difference does it make to the team. So when Carlos Mendoza was on with Evan and Tiki this week, he said that the only difference it makes, honestly, is to the fans. Because in there, you're just going to be the same whether he has a C on his name or not. So the whole thing is really for us.
Thanks for the call, Gio. Yeah, he's not going to have a C on the jersey. And I think I did catch that in the interview. But, like, what I also have said is Stearns, Steve Cohen, these Mets, like, they've been people pleasers. They have done a lot to please the fans. They have amazing day, and the fans say, we want Pete, get it done. They get it done, right? They want a statue outside of the building of Tom Seaver. They get it done. They want Old Timers Day back. They get it done. They want the black jerseys back. They get it done. They want Juan Soto. They get it done. There's some other little things that they could do and get it done and literally have more people show up to the ballpark like you're requesting. Make Lindor captain. Bring Candelita back for the vibes and bring back Jose Iglesias for the depth. 888-808-1019. I'm running out of time. Call my show. BRB.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
New York! Hopefully everybody's enjoying a little bit warmer couple days here. Like, it's cool to be able to step outside in a hoodie or, you know, not have to have on the damn parka. Gloves, scarf, hat. Like, I was pumped today. I almost took the train today. I just ran short on time, but I'm like, look at this. Back-to-back days, 50 degrees. Like, you really appreciate 50 degrees after it's 19. You really appreciate. Like, I come out of here at night, 12, 2 a.m., and, man, there are sometimes these doors are so heavy there. Sometimes, like, I got to push the door, and then that wind is like, I'm like, oh, I'm getting in the car. I'm trying to warm up my car. I'm driving away. I'm frozen. I'm like, yo, please get warmer. Please, let's get there. We are almost there. We're almost to the end of the show. We're almost to opening day. We're almost to NBA playoffs and Stanley Cup playoffs and the combine and then the draft and yeah, warmer, longer days. I watched the sun go down today. I'm like, that was a nice sunset. And hopefully this winter is a wrap. And you guys know the spring with two good baseball teams. I know you guys have kind of cooled off on the Knicks a bit, but I think they'll figure some stuff out. They'll rally. They'll be competitive. And you never know. I think Mikal Bridges is going to figure out how to surprise some people at some point. I don't think he's going to go out like a chump. And I think Knicks fans will rally around their team. Maybe the Nets rally and make the play-in, but half the fan base rather see them, you know, tank and lose the rest of the games and try and get a lottery ball that isn't there. And I don't know. We live our lives with these sports, and as it gets warmer and the days get longer, we look forward to wins and some success. And let me take the rest of my calls before we get out of here. I think we'll have another break, Paul, right? Yeah, we'll have another break. Open mic time, letting you guys bring some topics to the forefront that we haven't spoke on yet. Something I did want to bring to the forefront. A couple things, actually. One with the combine. On-field workouts for the combine are set up like this. Thursday will be the defensive linemen and linebackers. Friday, the DBs and tight ends. Saturday, the quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs. That's the day. And then Sunday, offensive line. And as we were talking about the combine all night and you know how they're never going to get rid of the combine, the top talent doesn't have to perform. It is a media convention. It is for agents and players and prospects to all be in the same place. Shout out to Charlotte Carroll, who I had on at 9 o'clock. If you want to go back and listen to Charlotte Carroll talk about the Giants, you know, she was at a happy hour for women in football. Like, those type of things go on at the combine where, you know, it's not just running the 40 and, you know, jumping and throwing passes. These GMs all speak. They all meet. And I think I took a call, and I didn't get to it, but the caller was like, you know, who else is looking for a quarterback? Only, like, try to make it seem like only the Jets and Giants are looking for quarterbacks. That's not true. Colts GM Chris Ballard said it'll be an open competition at starting quarterback between Anthony Richardson and another QB that Indy brings in the offseason. Now the Rams might be looking for a quarterback, obviously, with the, you know, rumors of Matthew Stafford seeking a trade. If Sam Darnold does not re-sign with the Vikings will be looking for a quarterback. I already said they should be interested in Matthew Stafford. At the top of the draft, you know the Titans don't have a quarterback with Will Levis, but as Mel Kiper puts out his big board, remember that Mel Kiper had a lot of faith in Will Levis. As Will Levis dropped, it was Mel Kiper who was in love with Will Levis and was kind of pushing him to go in the top of the draft, and that obviously didn't happen. The Cleveland Browns, I always mention how their players think that they're a quarterback away. Deshaun Watson, he's a joke, and I mean, so is Justin Tucker. If you've heard the things about Justin Tucker, we'll wait on that. There'll be a day where I lean into that story the same way I leaned into Deshaun Watson. Justin Tucker is just as bad. But yeah, you're looking at a draft where the Titans, the Browns, the Giants, the Raiders, the Jets, the Saints, all in the top 10 could be looking to take a quarterback. And then other teams, even the Dallas Cowboys, they need a backup quarterback. And hell, their backup quarterback always plays. So they're talking about taking like a Dylan Gabriel. I've seen a lot of people pointing to Dylan Gabriel out of Oregon. They're taking a young quarterback because Trey Lance is going to try and get picked up somewhere else. I don't know, maybe he comes to New York. And then obviously Cooper Rush is another, you know, Dallas quarterback that always gets to play. And he's got experience, former Giant. Maybe he comes this way. The Cowboys are looking for quarterbacks. Everybody is looking for quarterbacks, always, in the NFL. If you have one, you don't have one. If you have two, maybe you have one. It used to be if you have two, you don't have one. Now you need 1A and 1B. So I thought that was interesting that Chris Bauer was talking about that. And then to tie that all together before we get back to your calls at 888-808-1019, I did mention, too, that like all the rumors of Kevin Stefanski reuniting with Kirk Cousins, the Falcons GM, Terry Fontenot, he said that they're cool with keeping Kirk Cousins as the backup, paying him $25.5 million, and also triggering another $10 million to become fully guaranteed for 2026. They signed him knowing that, hey, you know, we're going to pay this guy a lot, but he's serviceable, he's smart, and if Michael Penix Jr. gets hurt, Kirk Cousins is sitting there waiting in the wings. 888-808-1019, talking all sports on the Fan. Let's see what Ralph and Bradley Beach has. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, my brother. I'll tell you, you know what that win was? That win is the Red Storm Rising. I'm 71. I am pumped. Pumped. Let's get this thing. This is a, I'll tell you, I just had a Wall Street guy donate 10 tickets to my group of kids, and I'm telling you, I got the kids wearing red. I'm out on Long Beach Boardwalk, and you're right, the weather was unbelievable. But Mitchman and the boys, we need a championship. We're the number one seed right now. I'm afraid of Marquette, but I'm telling you, great show. I can't sleep. This is bringing me back to Louis days. You're talking about championships. Let's get this one. You know, you talk a great show, and you pump me up, but I am ready, my man. I got my brother got me tickets to the whole thing, so I haven't gone in a while, and I'm ready. My friends, alumni, we're ready. Let's get something going here from Queens. Let's pump it up. I'm telling you.
Let's go. I'm with it. Ralph and the Red Storm, thanks for the call down in Bradley Beach. Beautiful place to be. Walking the boardwalk when it starts to get warm, and the next thing you know, it starts to get too warm, and then there's too many Bennies, and there's too many people, and too much foot traffic, and too many cars, and it's like, well, another summer down the Jersey Shore. Yeah, the St. John's Red Storm, they're number 7. They play Butler tomorrow, and it's such a special time. I got to get to watch that. I got to get to watching that Vice documentary that they're doing right now. I heard BT talking about it, and you know, Rick Pitino is doing his thing, and it's rare. So, you know, as people might be cooling off on the Knicks, you still have the Red Storm, and we almost never have the Red Storm in this capacity. We don't have them, you know, being the best team, being the top dog, beating UConn. And, man, March is going to be fun. How could I leave that out, talking about the draft and talking about the playoffs and talking about, you know, baseball, having March Madness and having the St. John's Red Storm be a team that can make a run is going to light up the city. They're definitely going to carry New York on their back. 888 888- 808-1019. Joe is in Rockville Center on the fan. What's up, Joe?
What's happening, Keith? You know, it's funny, my man from Bradley Beach, New Jersey. I was calling in because I was at the Ranger game at UBS tonight, and the Rangers just put a beat down on the Islanders. We're going to talk about that for a second. But main point was the St. John's Red Storm. It's really awesome to see. I'm bringing my four-year-old son to his first ever, I would say, big-time game this Saturday against Seton Hall after they moved that game from Carneseca to the Garden this week. And it's awesome to see St. John's. I've been a long-time St. John's fan. Both of my parents had gone there, you know, back in the 70s. And, you know, growing up through that was a Red Storm fan. And after Mullen, you know, kind of took over, you know, a bunch of years ago, the consensus was, you know, if he can't do it, nobody can do it. And, you know, I call him Uncle Ricky at this point, but Rick Pitino to come in and kind of redo the team and bring St. John's to where they've come at this point today to number 7 in the nation. It's awesome to see it had gone to a lot of games for the Red Storm. As I lived in the city for the past 15 years now out to Long Island and get to bring my son to the games. One of the best sports moments I have, going to a lot of games at Madison Square Garden, both for the St. John's and for the Rangers, was back in 2018. If you remember this, Keith, was when St. John's was down by over 20 points at halftime on a Saturday night game in the Garden. It was probably a 50-50 Villanova versus St. John's fans there, and they came back to win that game. And now we're in a situation here where St. John's is filling the Garden, and it's just awesome, awesome, awesome to see the Red Storm come back here, be able to fill the Garden. It's awesome to bring my four-year-old son to a game with my father, who's a St. John's guy, and it's just fantastic, Keith. I think, you know, when you look at overall New York sports today, I think there's a lot of question marks around our football teams. You know, baseball, we'll certainly see what happens, but we're kind of in that dead period right now. And it's, for a true New York fan, it's awesome to see the St. John's Red Storm kind of fill that gap that we're in right now. We went through the Four Nations tournaments with hockey, you know, the past 2 weeks, and now we have Big East basketball in MSG. St. John's can lead the way here, get an NCAA appearance that they haven't seen. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, Keith, in a bunch of years here. So it'll be awesome to see them. I think the last time they saw it was Shamori Ponds, the last time they were probably in the NCAA tournament, to come back in here and but really make a real appearance with Rick Pitino. And I don't know that Rick Pitino is getting enough credit here, especially with the NIL. You know, he's bringing in what's needed to the St. John's organization from both a marketing perspective, making the folks aware in the tri-state area of what St. John's can bring from both the university perspective and a college basketball perspective to the area. And it's just fantastic to see what he's bringing with his knowledge and experience to college basketball, but to the overall sports in New York. And it's just fantastic to see. And it really makes it a lot easier to kind of deal with the dead space that we're in right now. So, you know, you know, we'll see what happens with the Rangers here on the bubble, but it's just fantastic to have St. John's Red Storm basketball in the heat of things, in the thick of things right now. And I think a lot of people in the tri-state area really hope that they make a deep, deep, deep run into the NCAA tournament.
Thanks for the call. I mean, I'm right there with you. Gave you your time. There's a few things I wanted to add to that. They just missed the tournament last year. They were kind of on the bubble. They were in the tournament in 2019. And you talked about Mullins having the opportunity. And if he couldn't do it, nobody could do it. But, like, this ties into what I'm talking about tonight about being in the future. And also what I always tell you about stay down till you come up as a fan, as alumni, as people that live around St. John's University and might think, oh, they'll never be good. Oh, they'll never. You keep supporting. You keep showing up. And the feeling that you have is euphoric, especially the people that never left. never went anywhere, kept believing. And the future is grand. The future is amazing. The future is unknown. Didn't know that the Yankees would drop their beard policy in the future. Didn't know that the future would literally be this year that they would stop playing Frank Sinatra, New York, New York after losses. But here we are. The combination of Rick Pitino coming to St. John's at 72 paired with the NIL name, image, and likeness ability that they have now to pay players to get top talent and the transfer portal, like all of those things together create this future that we're in right now where St. John's is back. You needed all of those three things to happen where 20 years ago, 10 years ago, you couldn't see that happening because it didn't exist. And people told you they're never going to pay these athletes. They're never going to let you transfer without sitting out.
No, and again, as the caller said, and as you said, getting Pitino here, who, and if you're a St. John's fan with Steve Lavin and Mike Woodson, and as he said, Chris Mullin, there have been a lot of swing and misses. And when you bring in a guy, and he's 72, like you said, and he's connecting to 18 and 19-year-olds, because they know what he did previously. They know all the success he has. And call it whatever you want, big Rick energy.
Yeah, because he's real, Rick energy. And he's not pulling any punches, and he's not trying to be somebody he's not. And he, like, even though we're in the future, he's old school. Even though we're in 2025, he's giving it to you straight up like it's 1995, like it's 1985. And, you know, the real recognized real, those kids respect it. They got no choice but to respect it. They transferred in to play for him. They took the money to play for him. They're following his lead. And so many times we say these teams mimic the coach. They take on the attitude, the personality of the coach. And I slowly, you know, slowly but surely see that. I think they are. By the time they get to the tournament, they're going to be shooting a little bit better. The defense is going to be there. And they're going to be a hard-nosed team to knock out. Like, you when hope. They match up against some of these these kids from, I don't know, softer areas or schools that are more, you know, like preppy schools or, like, you know how it gets. When you get into the tournament, it'll be a matchup of, like, you know, look how we saw St. Peter's Prep make their run or St. Peter's College in Jersey City make their run. They were just tougher than some of the kids they went up against.
Absolutely. And again, I think I saw they haven't been ranked this high in the AP Top 25 since December of 91. They haven't won a Big East championship outright in like 40 years. Like, it is some absurd stuff. And again, Pitino is not perfect. We all know what Pitino did and the history, right? But one thing he can do is coach kids and coach basketball, and he does it well, and he connects to these kids that he is 50 years older than.
Yeah.
Incredibly impressive.
Yeah, and St. John's basketball is kind of filling the void right now, and it's good to have. I didn't think we would be talking about St. John's basketball literally every day and night on WFAN like we are, but change has come. Rick Pitino, NIL, transfer portal, and here we are. 888-808-1019. This is a good game. It's 78-72. Lakers second half is underway. I've got another like 13 minutes left, so let's take a break and we'll wrap up the show. Sneak in your last calls right now. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, let's do it quickly. Just hit me with your topic, your question, your thought. I'll respond, and then we'll move on to the next call. I got a full rack of calls, and I don't have that much time. Josh is in Passaic. Josh, you're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. What's doing, my guy?
Watching this game, it's going to be a good one to watch on the highlights.
Yeah, you know, the Lakers are doing pretty great these days. But anyway, you know, first off, it's great to see the Capitals, you know, finally not get a point for the first time, I think, in 22 games. Like, did that team, it's nuts. And, you know, big game for Dallas tomorrow night. But anyway, you know, quick thing in, you know, don't go after, for the Mets, don't go after Quintana. That was a brutal guy to watch last year. He might have had a nice ERA, but the amount of people that he always let on base, he never had clean innings, and just, as I've said before, the first few weeks aren't that hard of a schedule. They play the Phillies 3.5 weeks in, so that's pretty much what I think. You know, hope to you know, with whatever you have, they should still win games. I don't think they should get another pitcher, not with options left right now. You know,
Thanks for the call, Josh. They're not gonna sign Jose Quintana. If they wanted him, they could have. They're not gonna panic, like you said. If you had the strength of the schedule in the beginning and the spring training that we have, they have a runway here to figure some things out. Bob is out on Staten Island on the fan. Go for it, Bob.
Hey, Keith. How are you? I was going to say something similar to a Met pitching question. I really wanted to rail on Lou Lamoriello, but I'm not going to do that because you got limited time.
Go for it.
The NIL stuff, the colleges have been ripping these kids off for 60 years, and it's about time they get their due. Because a lot of them don't make the pros, and they deserve what they can get, I think.
Yeah.
So, getting back to the Mets for a second, we all know Stearns is, I'm not going to sign a guy for a lot of money. The pitchers all get hurt, but you know what? You got two pitchers hurt, and you got to do something because, this six-man rotation nonsense, that's not going to fly. Yeah,
they have six guys right now, not six solid guys. I don't think they're going to be able to pull up that six-man rotation. Thanks for the call, Bob. I would go to five and see how that starts the season off. Chris out on Long Island. You're on the fan. Go for it.
Yeah, how you doing? I was just curious about your opinion. You were talking about how everybody needs a quarterback and everything. I'm a Giants fan. Obviously, if they're going to draft a quarterback early, they can't miss. I don't like the class. What do you think, or what's your thoughts on like trying to get a backup somewhere? Like me personally, I love this kid Tyson Bagent, the backup on Chicago.
Me too.
Trade or Joe Milton on New England. Yep. Like trade a fifth or a sixth round pick. Do you think these guys got is an option? They have talent,
backups that they're going to try and rob you for. They're good backups, and everybody needs a backup. As I was just saying, if you don't have two, you don't have one. Those Bagent and Milton are good young backups that are affordable. If you're going to trade for them, they're gonna have a high asking price. Thanks for the call, Chris. I was talking about Tyson Bagent early because his dad is the world-class arm wrestler. You remember me talking about him coming out of Shepherd University in West Virginia? And then Joe Milton, Bazooka Joe Milton, this guy went to the combine last year. I don't know how he dropped so far, but he was showing off his arm strength. Tony in Montreal back on the fan. Hello, Tony.
How you doing, Keith? Always loving talking to you. Listen, I was just thinking about this Shadar. He made $1.9 million, and Canada now is going to send the best junior hockey players that from the OHL, Quebec Major Junior, Western League. Do you think that's going to improve the Division I hockey down in the States? Because these are the feeder programs for the Rangers and different teams like that.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, of course. The better talent, the more money they'll generate, the more tickets they'll sell. They got NIL too. Not like these college kids got, not $1.9 million like Shador Sanders got. But yeah, the better talent, the better teams, the more tickets they sell, the more advertisers and dollars they'll be able to bring in. Thanks for the call. Tony, Max is in Brooklyn on the fan. You got it, Max.
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
Good.
I just want to ask you a quick question. What do you think if Spencer Jones has a solid spring training, hits a couple big homers, do you think he's going to give him the chance to DH or play the outfield and judge to DH at the beginning of the season?
I think he would have to just be on an absolute tear. It would have to be against some solid pitching. It wouldn't be late in the games. Thanks for the call, Max. But I don't believe in Spencer Jones yet. I don't think that he's a real option. There were people saying that in my chat, and I was talking them off of it. Like, no, Spencer Jones, I hope he has a great spring, but he was hitting home runs last year. Spencer Jones shouldn't be a realistic option. I was saying in the chat, I'm like, you'll hate Spencer Jones if he's your DH and he's facing major league pitchers for the first month and striking out. Like you're high on him now in spring training. He's facing nobodies. I don't think he's ready yet. He needs to mature. He needs to develop. He needs to see some more pitches, and then maybe at the end of the year. But I think to throw him in the beginning of the year is premature. I know Ben Rice came out of nowhere last year. Maybe Ben Rice is that guy that ends up getting those DH at bats. Josh is in the Bronx. My last call. You got it, Josh.
Keith, I'm telling you, that Big East is going to be something. St. John's, keep it going. Let's go. Let's go. Okay, Keith, thank you.
It's awesome, baby. You should have thrown in a Dickie V. It's awesome, baby, with the St. John stuff. All right, that's it. We did it. 888-808-1019. C-Mac is in the bullpen warming up, coming in to close things out. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. My internet dropped and I lost my stream. So if any of you were wondering where I went and never ended the stream, I just went back to doing strictly the on-air radio streaming on the free Odyssey app. I will be back Thursday. My wife is going on a work trip and I got to watch my son tomorrow night. So you will not hear me on after the Brooklyn Nets post game, and that's okay. I think Pat Boyle will be on, so shout out to PB Radio and TV. I'll be back Thursday. I think we'll do the 5-hour Thursday. I don't know. I got to check the schedule. Either way, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for calling. C-Max coming up next. I'm out of here. Good night.
So what does he deliver for me as a Jet fan? 2 years of misery.
Shout out to Jonah.